Are we ready for test number three?
Yes.
There are three primary relationships that all speakers have. The speaker's relationship to his material, that's what. The speaker's relationship to his audience, that's who. And the speaker's relationship to his presentation, that's how. So this is a helpful framework to think about when you are tasked to communicate publicly. There are three relationships that you have to honor. And we're going to examine, we've got a little test for you, to find out, are you more what-focused, material-focused, or more who-focused, audience-focused, or how, presentation-focused. So we're going to look at each three and think about them as I'm reading the descriptions. And then I want you to give a percentage of your overall approach. What percentage is focused on what, who, and how? Okay, so material focus, that's what. Here's some of the ways to know that you're a material focused kind of individual. You deeply love the material you're presenting. You love to research and usually prepare more material than needed. Because of that, you find it difficult to say everything you want to say, and because of that, you often have to rush to finish. You enjoy explaining things you want your audience to understand like you do. You love facts and information and need to know as much about a subject as possible. You find your material is sometimes too complex or too abundant for your audience. Your audience thinks you're very smart. Your audience might occasionally question the relevance of some of your material. Okay, so not all of those necessarily will connect with you, but that just gives you some indication of what a material-focused individual looks like. Audience focus is number two. That's who. You deeply love the people you're speaking to. You think of your audience as personal friends. You're interested in each and every person in your audience. You share stories about your life and see your audience as an extended family. You thoroughly enjoy talking with people about their life before and after the message. You like being with people in relaxed environments, even when you're not giving a presentation. Your audience thinks of you as a caring person who's in touch with their needs. You think of your audience as more important than your material or your delivery. All right? And the third category is a presentation-focused individual. This is the how. So you deeply love to speak. You work hard to create a dynamic message to interest and engage your audience. You like a creative presentation and are not afraid to try new methods. You believe that boring an audience is a great offense. You concentrate on the dynamics of public speaking and are conscious of your delivery. You constantly try to improve your material and presentation for maximum effectiveness. You spend almost as much time preparing how to present your material as you do researching it. And you think speaking is a performance and are fully engaged when you do it. All right? So write down all three. Doesn't matter the order. Just write down all three. Material focused, audience focused, and presentation focused. And then give a percentage. What do you think is your percentage? Now, make sure at the end that it adds up to 100. Or I will embarrass you in front of your peers. So make sure it adds up because it should be 100%. So break it down. Material, audience, presentation. I'll give you a few minutes to think about it. Audience, material, presentation. Henry, pass that microphone. Is that a mic there? Pass it to this table. I haven't heard from anyone from this. Oh, look, they already have one. So Yvette's got it in her hand, so you're like the last person holding it, so you're the one that gets called upon. Yvette, thinking about these three relationships, which one got the highest percentage for you?
For me, it's the audience focus.
What percentage?
40.
40% audience, okay? And then what was number two?
In a way, like what you said, some of the things that are 1 to 8 that some speaks of me, some are not. So I tend to also be material focused. I also tend to be presentation focused. So I have 30 for each.
30-30. So
yes,
you're 40, 30-30. So
yes.
A pretty balanced communicator. And in this aspect of communication, all three of these relationships are important. And so the closer you get to some kind of balanced percentage like that, probably the more effective you're going to be. Now, you may have a leaning in one different direction and maybe a weakness in another, but contrary to strength finders in this aspect, you're going to have to focus on your weakness a little bit, because you're not going to be able to fully get across to your audience if there's a weakness, a noticeable weakness in one of these three. Okay? Chryso, can we hear from you? Henry, can you pass that up to her? Give us your percentage. Tell us your top one. Number one, your main relationship that you feel the most comfortable with is?
When I do Victory Weekend, I am 40% with the audience and material presentation 30% each. But when I teach in a class setting, I am 35% with the material and the presentation. And I have less.
35,
30. Then audience is 30.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's why I kind of made that.
So you feel pretty balanced.
I think so.
All right. Karen, can we hear from you? What do you got?
I have 45% in the audience. Yeah, whenever I teach in Victory Weekend, I think about my audience as I prepare, if it would relate to them. So that's my motivation in doing my material. And then after that, 30% material and presentation, 25%.
Okay. Who had the most unbalanced? Okay, Cricket, what do you got over here? 40-20-40. I don't know if that's the most unbalanced. 40 material, 20 audience. Yeah. Who cares about them, right? And presentation, 40. Janus, let me hear from you. What do you got? Microphone. Thank you.
Presentation is 50.
50.
Material.
50. 50.
Yes.
Yeah.
Material.
So you like the show, huh?
No. Because basically, every time I present something, it's mostly technical. So I have my audience focus is 20.
Yeah.
My presentation, I make it very understanding for people.
Okay. Yeah.
Because most it's technical.
Yeah.
So
humans can understand what you're saying.
So in a way, my presentation is leaning forwards to the audience.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Who else got kind of an unbalanced? Yeah. Sharon, what do you got, Sharon?
I'm material focused 50%.
50% on the material.
Because my number one strength is learners.
Learner.
I just realized every time I present in my masterial class, I would have sometimes 100 slides.
100 slides.
I just realized when I was doing this, oh, that's why.
100 slides for how long a presentation?
30 to an hour.
Okay, well, that's better than at least it's not a 5-minute presentation.
No, it's not a 5-minute presentation.
Okay, so you had 50 on material, then where's it
then
go from
audience
there?
Is 30, then presentation 20.
Presentation is 20, so yeah. Anybody else kind of, yeah, Carlos, what do you got?
Yeah, mine's very bad. 80% material.
80% material.
15% presentation, 5% audience. So
they're an afterthought, right?
Yeah. And this is based on real. I was actually thinking it through. Whenever I preach, the few times I do preach, you know, if I were spending 20 hours preparing for a message, 16 hours of that was just pure research and preparation. Study, research. And then the Sunday morning I'm about to preach, I go, okay, I got to stop researching, right? And then I now jot
the
it down.
The Sunday morning.
Yeah, the Sunday morning. So I jot it down into an outline, and I think of what's the most creative way to say this. And then I say it. I have to say it to the fourth. So that's as much as I think about
okay,
the
audience. Okay, well, we need to help you right here.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
So that's not an acceptable percentage. All right?
Yeah.
So what do you think you should begin doing or maybe not doing as much of?
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
Well, what Belle and I did was we created a system where she tells me at a certain point to stop researching.
She does.
And I do my outlining without internet.
Okay.
Just practical things. Because I'm very aware of it. This is my natural...
Yeah.
This is really my leaning. So what I do is, that's why one of the reasons I have a board on my room.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, I just stop and then I write. I need to not be on the computer to shift to a presentation mindset.
Right.
As long as I'm in front of my computer, it's purely material based. I'm just purely thinking my thoughts and what I want to say, everything that I need to be saying. So.
Yeah.
So that's how it shifts. Then I think of what's the best way to say it. What do I not say? That becomes presentation discussion.
Yeah,
and then I'm only there, so I haven't gotten to thinking of my audience and really going that far. Yeah, I know.
5%. So we got to help you on that one.
Yes, sir.
What's the plan?
I wrote down on my topics that I want discussed on staff dev presentation skills training.
Presentation skills is important, but what about the people?
Well, I don't know. No, so what I did now, like this weekend I'm speaking in a singles getaway for Quezon City. What I did was, before I did my material, just because I'm very aware of it. So what I did was before I did my material, I sat down with the people planning the retreat and I asked them, what's your outcome-based objective for me when I speak? What do you wish I say?
Okay.
And I wrote that down. I needed them to articulate it. Before I do any research, you need to be giving me these parameters or else I'm going to go do whatever I want to talk about.
Right.
So that set me up. So that was easier.
That's primarily presentation.
Oh, really? So
because that's how you're going to organize your material to connect.
Mm. Okay.
So we got some weakness there.
Yeah, all right.
Anybody else have this? Krish, you were extreme, huh? Pass that mic over to Krish. We're going to put you on the hot seat. Krish, what do you got? Number one is?
Presentation.
It's all about the show, right? And what percentage did that get?
Well, at first I put it at 85-10-5.
85.
But I changed it because I started analyzing how I would prepare materials. I would normally, there's a sequence to how I do it. I normally need someone to talk to me. What's the audience? What's their demographic? What do I need to get done? What are the non-negotiables that you want me or you expect me to deliver?
That's
and then after
research,
that, I sit down on the material. But I end up crying if I don't get to the presentation part. If I don't polish on the dynamics and I tend to focus on the material, I end up crying. I can't do class, like for example, in events. if I haven't decided on the group dynamics. I mean, I get frustrated if I don't do workshops, if I don't tell illustrations or stories. So I'm a bit heavy on the presentation. Because, I don't know, maybe because also of my college background, I got used to how effectively you can communicate it determines how much you love your audience and how much you love your material as well. So I tend to lean heavily on the presentation.
Well, we probably need to shore up that material side so that you actually have something to say.
I have.
Okay. Yes, May. Can you pass the mic to her?
Is there a connection between how you actually learn? Is it the reason why that's also how you speak?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. And you probably also speak in the way that you like to hear people speak.
If you're a visual person, tendency is when you are about to deliver something, you would focus on presentation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And why? One of the reasons I think this exercise is helpful is because you realize what you are and that others aren't. So if you don't think about this and become self-conscious, then you'll just do what works for you. And you'll miss a large part of your audience. But you start realizing, this is my unique wiring, but I am in the minority. Other people think differently, they have different learning style, and they respond to different things. And somehow, I have to do my best to become all things to all people and expand my repertoire. You're just not going to let me sit down, are you? Something about that mic there. Any other questions? Thoughts about this? All right? Let's keep going. We're going to do a few more little practical exercises before I load you down with data. Effective communicators learn how to communicate according to their strengths. According to their strengths. So we're thinking about strength-based communication. Instead of just giving you a lot of random skills, I want you to think about your particular themes and how you can craft an effective communication style based on the way you're wired. So, for example, with me, my two dominant themes that always come into play when I speak publicly are context and strategic. So context is first. It gets the big picture, all the data, the information, all very clear. And then strategic is what in all of that material is the most important thing people need to know, and how can I get them from where they are to where I want them to be. So those themes define really almost everything about my communication skill and strength. So I use those themes to develop an effective communication style that is me. Then also empathy becomes a strong supplement here because it gives me an intuitive ability to hear my sermons from the perspective of the audience before I ever preach them. So I'm always reworking and readjusting and making changes, thinking, now if I say it this way, what will they hear and feel? Make a little adjustment. So that adds to the strength of my communication ability. Now, we'll give you a few other examples here, okay? So if you're analytical, one of the things about analytical is you peel back the layers until root causes and patterns are revealed. So you might turn that into a communication skill by getting to the heart of exactly what needs to be communicated and say it with the fewest words possible. And if you're an arranger, you search for the perfect combination to get things done the best way. Well, maybe a skill that you could learn based on that theme is how to organize your material in the best combination to connect with your audience. If you have belief, you have strong core values that are foundation for everything you do. So maybe a skill you could develop is determine what about your message represents a value to you, and how can you get that across to others. If you're futuristic, you're energized by visions of the future, and you energize others with your vision. Maybe a skill you could develop is create a picture of what their life would look like if they believe, follow, and or obey what you're telling them. And if you have ideation, you're a creative person who appreciates originality. Maybe you can present your material in a way that no one has ever done it before. Those are just a few ideas to start to prime the pump, okay? Now, what I want you to do for this exercise, and I want to give you some time to really think about this, is list three themes, that are the five that you know you have, that could aid your communication. And then, how can you capitalize on each one to make you a better communicator? So take about, I'd like to take close to 10 minutes on this one to think about it. So think about your five themes and just pick one, write it down, and then think, using that, how can you turn that into a specific skill to make you a more effective communicator? And then when you do one, go on to another. And then if you have time, get to the third one. All right, Janelle, can you get a mic? Chrysler, will you hand it to her?
Hi.
Go ahead, tell us one, what you got?
Communication.
Okay. That just means you talk a lot.
Yeah. That's what you said when you met with us. It doesn't necessarily, you're not necessarily a good communicator.
Not necessarily.
But you just love to talk.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very me. And
but how can you develop a skill?
Well, I wrote down basically expand my vocabulary further.
Good.
To be able to use more words that are more applicable.
Great.
And that will really drive the what I need to say and what I need to communicate.
Yeah.
And yung learn how to be more logical in my approach.
Yeah, that's a
because
problem.
I tend to just talk and talk.
Good.
And talk.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Pass the microphone back to Evelyn back there. Evelyn, pick one that you... What did you write down? Tell us what you thought.
Being analytical.
Analytical.
In my presentation, that I must analyze the cause and effect of the things that I will share to them, how it will motivate them or make them, if ever in Victory Weekend, be victorious in life. So I must know my audience more. I must do asking with the admin, those people who will attend, who they are. Are they youth or adult or what? So that you will know how to really strike their hearts and that they will understand more about what you are talking about.
Great. Excellent. Edwin, grab a mic.
For me, that's the individualization.
Yeah.
Basically to...
How can you turn that into a skill?
Yeah, to be able to get a life story on each one of my audience and somehow to focus on that and try to explain that life story to communicate my message well, to make a point. And that's it.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk about some specific skills now. That was all under authenticity. Remember, there's three words: authenticity, connection, and clarity. Connection is our next section. Connection is a relationship of mutual trust, understanding, and acceptance that develops when individuals recognize they're alike in some way. A relationship of mutual trust, understanding, and acceptance that develops when individuals recognize they're alike in some way. The word communication comes from the Latin word communicare, which means to share. So communication is about shared experience. And connection takes place when there's a sense of shared experience. One of my trips back and forth to Manila, I can't remember which one it was, I was in a layover in Narita on the moving sidewalk. And I tend to walk pretty fast on those things. And I overtook two guys. And they didn't know each other, but somehow they'd struck up a conversation on the walkway. And I came upon them as they had just discovered that they were from pretty close towns in the state of Illinois, small towns in southeastern Illinois, which is exactly where I grew up. And I just happened to walk upon these guys who just discovered that they're from towns pretty close to each other, small towns, and I just poked in on the conversation and said, I'm from Collinsville. Of course, they all knew that town. And here's three random strangers in Narita Airport at the same time from three tiny little towns in Illinois in the U.S., which that's sort of an unusual occurrence, but automatically there was a connection. Like, these are my friends. Like, I've got people in this massive airport with all these people I don't know, but man, this is my crew right here. There was an immediate connection because understanding, acceptance, like out of all the people in that airport, those two guys would understand me and accept me more. There was something in common. A connection was formed. I mean, it was fleeting, right? I'll never see him again, probably. And it was pretty brief, but at that moment, a connection took place because we had a shared experience. And so in connecting with an audience, it's about shared experience. What is it that you have in common with your audience? And you connect with them when they sense there's similarity, you're alike in some way. You build connection, number two, when people believe you've experienced the same things they have. When people believe you've experienced the same things you have. Maybe you've had this experience where you're going through a difficult time or have had a difficult experience, an unsettling experience, and someone tries to minister to you that has not experienced what you've experienced. It's hard to receive from them. Even though what they're telling you most likely is accurate, it's biblical, it's true, and a part of you says, yeah, that's right. But, yeah, there's no connection, right? And then someone else comes along who maybe doesn't have near the biblical wisdom or insight, and maybe he's not even giving you even as good advice as that other person, but they've been there. They've experienced it. And that connection enables you to receive from them where you probably wouldn't receive from that other person because they've experienced and know what I'm going through. And in making connection with your audience, when they feel like you understand, you've experienced what you're talking about, you're not just the man or the woman on the mountain with the lofty communication from God, but that you've experienced what they're experiencing. And this is about our first subpoint. This is about empathy. Empathy is the ability to get inside the mind of another person, to think like he thinks and to feel what he feels. Now, it helps, of course, if you have a predilection towards empathy, a wiring, right, a strength finder theme towards that. That helps. That's a jump start. But whether you do or you don't, you've got to figure out somehow, using the themes that you have, how to understand and get inside the mind of another person. So that when you communicate, you're communicating almost like you're inside of them, hearing your words and how it's responding to them. When you get that skill, you start really connecting and becoming very effective in reaching people and communicating with them. Halford Luckick said one time in a book on communication, nothing is more central to genuine ministry than empathy. The ability to feel your way into the lives of others. Empathy, our next subpoint, allows you to anticipate the questions and objections of your listeners. Sometimes you can create a beautiful presentation that seems so logical, but if you haven't heard it from the perspective of another person, there may be something very significant that you've missed that they will discount most of what you say because you didn't take into account a very important question. Warren Wiersbe, writing about this, said, as you put yourself in their place, you discover mental obstacles that must be removed, prejudices that must be exposed, and objections that will need answers if the listener is to receive your material. So you preclude their objections in advance by putting yourself in their mind and hearing what they might object to and already having an answer for it before they even get to it. That's the ability to connect with people through them feeling like you've experienced what they've experienced. Number three, our third thought under connection. You build connection when people believe you care about them and their experiences as much you do yourself. You build connection when people believe you care about them and their experiences as much you do yourself. And, you know, a lot of times when you're speaking, especially when you're new at it, a lot of it's about you. Because you're up there in front of people and you're thinking, how am I doing? I don't want to bomb, right? I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to embarrass myself in front of people. That's why one of the great experiences you can have in life is making a total fool of yourself in public and surviving. And realize life's still going. And God feels the same way about me as He did before it happened. I survived. So that's like the worst possible thing. I'm glad I got it over with. Now, because now I can think more about the people and not how did I do? How did I come across? How did I perform? For those of us who are more material focused or presentation focused, this takes a little bit more work. We've got to think more about really expressing care for the people that we're communicating with. And finally, the last thought under connection is you build connection when people believe the information you have is necessary and life-changing. So crucial. I travel a lot, and so one of the things that I get to hear a lot is the safety regulations about the particular kind of aircraft that I happen to be upon. And there are a few speeches that are guaranteed to put you into a stupor and to have you disconnect than that particular speech. Right? Although, when you think about it, that might be some of the most important stuff you'll ever hear in your life. Now, we hope it never becomes important, but it just might be. And yet, for some reason, that's sort of the cue, especially for seasoned travelers, to disconnect, right? Automatically shut down. Now, if you've traveled on Southwest in the U.S., they have deliberately tried to circumvent this inevitability, and they give their flight personnel the freedom to make up their own speeches. How many have flown on Southwest? It's only within the U.S., so you know what I'm talking about. And so, although as a frequent traveler, that's even more irritating to me than just the information. And yet, I'm forced to listen to it every time because there's always a little creative nuance, a joke, or it's framed in such a way that the information connects with me and I have to listen. If you want to connect with your audience, you've got to convince them that what you have to say is vital information. And of course, first of all, you've got to believe it yourself. What I have to say, every human being needs to hear this. You've got to convince yourself of that. I always start with the basic assumption that my crowd, whoever I'm talking to, could care less. It's my starting assumption. They don't care about me. They don't want to hear me. They wish it was somebody else up there with the microphone. That's my starting assumption. Now, because of that, it forces me to work a lot harder to convince them, regardless of what you're thinking, you've got to listen to what I have to say. Because what I have to say is life-changing information. And people who convince themselves of that have a pretty good chance of convincing their audience that it's really life-giving information. If you approach your assignment next week, okay, it's just 5 minutes, and I was going to go up there, do the job, and get it over with, your 5 minutes will feel like 15 or 20 minutes to you and to us. But if you convince yourself, I've got something to say. And this is not just an assignment. They need to hear what I have to say. It'll make all the difference in your ability to connect with us as an audience. And it will shape your presentation, how you order your material to convince us of that fact will make a significant difference. Any thoughts about connection? Great. Questions? Yes, Ms. Cricket?
Pastor Paul, isn't it a little difficult to find out what your audience are, especially if you just come in, your audience change. It's like Sunday preaching or Victory Weekend. You have no connection to these people at all.
Yeah.
How do you... You know, how do you actually get over that and try to connect?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, the better you know your audience, the more effective you'll be. certainly. So you do everything possible that you can to get to know your audience. If there is no possibility, then there's certain generalities that you can start with. So you know if they're coming to Victory Weekend, probably they haven't been saved that long, right? The majority of them less than a year, would that be safe to assume? Yeah? Most, yeah. Or maybe they've been saved longer than that, but they haven't been with us for 6 months, a year. Okay, well, that tells you a lot about them. So now you know some of the terms, words that you might use in casual discussion with one of us. You can't use them or you're going to have to be careful. So you've already learned a lot right there. And if it's Victory Weekend, then they're coming. There's certain things that maybe haven't happened in their life yet. So there's a lot you can figure out about an audience. And then you just know human beings, right? The more you know about people in general, you can ascertain a lot about your specific audience by thinking about just the general audience or audiences you've had in the past, right? So Edgar asked me to speak for the morning services at QC this Sunday. Now, I've never been there at the Sunday services at QC, but I got an idea about general Victory people, right? And I've done other services at QC, so I got a little bit of an understanding. So I extrapolate from that data and make it more specific. Answer your question? Follow-up thoughts or questions? Is it in a mic?
Is it okay if you have a smaller audience, maybe this size or up to 80, to ask questions like, you know, random questions so you can just get a show of hands?
Sure, yeah. I think you can. You get feedback, this kind of data, before you ever go to speak by thinking about your audience. But you also get feedback right there on the spot, right? So you know if you're connecting or not. Yeah? There's certain ways you can, certain indicators, although they're not always 100% accurate. But there's certain indicators. So you're making adjustments as you go. Because there's no sense in just giving the material if the connection hasn't been formed, right? So you can tell right off the bat, I'm connecting. So just dive right in the material. Or I'm not fully connecting yet. I need to work a little bit harder getting that connection. So there's feedback coming before, during, and then after as you talk to people. And of course, everybody, most people will just say nice things, right? Like, that was a nice talk, or good preaching. Which is like, it's the worst insult you can give me. Kind of general, just blasé, sort of banal. Kind of, thank you, preacher. Good message. Makes me gag. I appreciate, you know, people are kind and that. Thank you. But I want to know something specific. So someone will say, that was a good message. I'll stop and say, what did the Lord speak to you? Wow. And they're really forced to, actually, I didn't really even listen to your message. I have no idea what you're talking about. Thank you. That helps. Now I got feedback. Note to self. You see, so you want real tangible. And you want people who will tell you the truth. And, you know, there's not many of them out there. You got to find the right people. I remember one time I have four children, and you know, my family, they like to hear me preach, so they say nice things. But I do have one child in the group who will actually tell me the truth. I remember one time I had preached Sunday morning, and myself and this particular child were driving back together, just me and this particular child. I'm not. Try not to use any gender-specific terms. although he knows who he is. And so we were talking, and he said, "That was a good message, Dad." I said, "Great, son, thanks." Waiting, because I knew something's coming, you know. And he said, "You realize, of course, that no one had the slightest idea what you were talking about." I said, "No, son, I didn't actually realize that, but thank you. That's helpful information for the future." That's much better than "great job, good, wonderful." Good, okay, I wasn't clear. So why? Was it my vocabulary? Was my terms? Was the concepts not... Why did I not connect? So I can be better next time. So you get feedback before, during, and after. All right, let's take a break.